You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale here. I'm just down out front of the Rogers Center as we speak.
Okay.
The first night of the Taylor Swift concert series in Toronto. Absolute bedlam down here, brother. Absolute pandemonium with all the Swifties down here. I'm just checking to see if there's any single moms cooking around down here. Absolutely crazy. I just ran into a dude who paid $10,000 for a ticket to get inside Rogers Center. Not even going to be able to see the stage. Obstructed view, this guy. $10,000 down the drain. I'm just joking, Chatty. What's cooking?
No, not much, not much.
You imagine what's going down there?
Is that right happening now? Is it the Taylor Swift concerts are going
tonight,
on?
Tonight is the first night of six shows. They will also
fix
six shows. Raptors play tomorrow. Like, it's just her tonight. Nothing down at Scotiabank. Raptors play tomorrow, and then she's back at it on Saturday. Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers Saturday night down there. It's going to be a shit show. No, the Lakeshore, the Gardner, the DVP, fucking forget about
all
it.
The subway, the GO trains, everything will be a fucking nightmare.
But yeah, I just thought I'd, you know, hunt. Go on the hunt for some single moms because, you know, they're probably cooking around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're down there. They're looking for you. That's the thing. Like, you're looking for them, but they have their eye peeled for you.
Well, I hope so. I'll keep you posted later.
So that makes sense because I saw a headline today that was the city of Toronto was clearing out all the tents and homeless people around the Rogers Center. That makes sense.
No doubt.
Imagine being able to roll into a town for six and sell out the Rogers Center six nights.
I don't think it's ever been done.
Insane how popular you have to be to do
you,
that.
Like, I think you two did like two consecutive sold out shows. I think the Stones have done it like two times.
Yeah. That's common.
Holy
biggest shit. Artists in the world can do two shows. They usually roll in for two shows and roll out, but six, like you spend a week in every city. That is nuts.
Yes, it is.
That's great though. Like for her.
Oh my God. Cash cow.
And you don't have to travel. You just stay in a hotel, do it again the next day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right.
Anyway, here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say episode 240.
Yes. And
we're going to get into her hair.
Climbing up there. The big 240 over here.
240. Since the last time we talked to you guys, the Leafs played a very shitty game against the Ottawa Senators and shitty game against the Washington Capitals. And then one good period in an overtime.
Yep.
And pulled out a win.
Yep. 3-0.
We're gonna get into it.
3-0 loss to the Sens. 4-3 OT comeback win over the Caps. And then here we are on Taylor Swift night recording this. But listen to this, just quick off the top. Like, they have laid a couple eggs. We're going to be all over the place on this podcast, folks. All over the place. Not a ton of negative. We might get to a segment. We'll see how it goes. Not a ton of negative here. But, well, a little bit of negative stuff, but it's not necessarily Leaf related. We're gonna have to take a little dive into the officials here because that was absolutely, I don't know what I saw last night. I'm sick of it. Get into that. But early in the season, the Leafs have laid a couple eggs so far, more than a couple, but at least a couple real stinkers this season. Shut out already two times. They weren't shut out once in the last four fucking seasons, but this year before the 20 game mark, two goose eggs on the board. So don't love that. I know they're trying to transition into playing a different way and all that. So, but you know, that effort against the Sens, it's just like, what is that? Like, we don't have to spend a ton of time on the Sens game, but I'm sure you were as not impressed as I was watching that game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was absolute horseshit is what it was. And it never, I kept thinking that they were going to get it going. Like, I thought, okay, when they got into the second period, I'm like, here we go. We're not out of this yet. And they got in the third period, but it was just three straight periods of dog shit.
Dude,
of absolute nothing.
The Sens came out of the gate from opening puck drop and they just didn't take their foot off the gas the whole fucking way.
Sens, but the Leafs didn't put up a fight either.
No, I know, but the Sens look a lot better, and like now they might have a goalie. So I don't know. Like, credit to the Sens. Yeah, the Leafs look like shit. Like, they nowhere near their A game, but and not a lot of fight back either. So no, didn't love that. Do you want to talk about the Washington game first, or do you want to talk about the officiating in that game first, or just kind of all together?
Let's just break it down all together.
Okay.
I mean, the officiating was the game.
That's
what the game was all about.
Let's just go there then. Let's just go there. That's where I've got most of the meat here is with the officiating, because this has to stop, man. This has to stop. I am so sick of watching this. It's fucking crazy. How much time? 7:30 puck drop. I don't think that game ended before. It was like after 10:30 before that fucking game even ended. 3 hours. Because there was like non-calls here.
There was 15 minutes of review time.
At least.
A whole other period of review time.
How many times were the refs at the fucking penalty box looking at the fucking iPod or at the iPad?
They're watching it more than a teenage boy who just found Pornhub.
Dude, on the phone with Toronto and like trying to get the calls right. I'm so sick of this, man. Like, I think the officiating, it has to stop. What is happening here? I think it's absolutely crazy. It like 3 goals called back, 2 for the Leafs, 1 for Washington. And like, I don't know. What do you have any suggestions here other than just like my suggestion is get rid of this fucking shit. Who needs it? Why do we need it? How long did the league last without it? We don't need this shit. Pierre LeBrun was on Overdrive earlier today, and he was talking about when they were getting ready to implement like all these coaches' challenges and not instant replay, fucking the reviews and shit.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if you caught this, and it was in the 6 o'clock hour, and LeBrun was like, he had a one-on-one conversation with Bettman, and Bettman did not want it in the game. He did not want it, which surprised the hell out of me. Like that Bettman, so LeBrun was saying Bettman was like not in favor of them wanting to do this, but whatever, they did it. And here we are now. And it's just making things like it just makes the game. That game was a good game because they fought back. I'm talking about the Washington game. We're done with the Ottawa game here. So the Washington game, like they fought back. And even though they got like the non-calls against them, like they still fought back. And that was impressive. But like, what are your thoughts on it? Like, I've got more to say on it, but just you go ahead. What, like, just it's crazy, is it not? Like, this shit's got to stop, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just such a, I don't even know how to put it. It just drags. It drags the game. It drags the momentum. It takes the viewer, like watching at home. You just want to turn the channel. You don't even want to watch anymore. And the thing that I hate about it the most is there's no consistency to it. No. Like, as a fan, I have watched so many NHL games, and I still have no fucking clue what goaltender interference is.
No.
Not a fucking clue. I don't. When they go to the review, like last night, I'll be perfectly honest, I thought that Washington first goal was a good goal.
100%. Like,
sorry, not the first goal. The one that got called back for goaltender interference.
Goal all day long.
I was like, it's a goal. He didn't touch him. And like, he touched him a little bit, but he didn't interfere with him having a chance to stop the puck. The shot came a good 3 beats after that, but yet they call it back after I have to sit through a 5-minute review. And I'm like, okay, I guess as a Leaf fan, I'm like, okay, that's good.
Okay. But like, you want to simplify it. Here's what it is. If the opposing player is in the blue paint, when the puck goes in the fucking net, it's goalie interference. That's it. If you're in the blue paint, it's automatic. There's no need for a fucking 5 or 10 minute review. Did he barely touch his skate? Did he barely touch his pad?
It's not. It's the coach's challenge.
I know. So that's got to go too. I'm sick of the fucking coach's challenge. Here's what I would like to see here. Get rid of the fucking coach's challenge. Put most of this back in the on ice officials' fucking hands. I'm sick of this calling to Toronto, whatever. Like, if the call on the ice is like, okay, get rid of the coach's challenge. You can't challenge offside. So whatever the ref calls on, if the ref calls it on the ice onside, the puck goes in the net, coach can't fucking challenge it. Just take it out of the fucking game. We don't need it. The game wants more goal scoring, and here we are. They called back three goals in one fucking game, dude.
But it all came into play because in an important game, a ref missed, I believe it was an offside call by a foot.
They're going to miss, but what would you rather have? Would you rather have?
I think there has to be a balance so that if the Leafs were in a game seven in a, I don't know, let's say not a Stanley Cup final, but any game seven in the playoffs, and they fucking lost by a goal because a linesman missed an offside or the goalie was interfered with and they didn't have a coach's challenge, you would be pissed.
Okay, but do you not think calls would even out? Like
but that one play would cost you your whole fucking season.
Okay.
I wish there was a way to be like, hey, you know what? It's a fucking Wednesday night in November. We don't really need to coach's challenge every fucking play here. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll get this game going. But you do, at the same time, I do believe that you do need it in important games. You don't want to miss that call. You don't want to have like another controversy like Dallas and Buffalo with Brett Hull and the foot in the crease. You don't want to have, I think it was Matt Duchene who was offside by like a foot. And
tweak it. Like, I would do away.
There's a balance.
Like I just said, foot in the crease. If you're in the blue paint, call back. Simple as that. That's it. Like, you don't even have to make contact. If you're in the blue paint and the puck goes in the net, goal is called back.
But that's not the point. The point is the ref is going to miss it once in a while that there's a foot in the blue paint.
Okay.
That's the point. And the coach's challenge allows them to say, hey, review that because you missed it. And if we don't have that, then you're going to miss a big goal somewhere down the road.
Possibly. I do get that side of it. I would go with I would just strip it right down to like, I want to know if the puck went in the net or not. Did it cross the line? Like, that's all I really fucking want to see. That's it.
I do agree with you that it should be more black and white. The definitive rules should be more black and white, and that will cause less coaches challenge. I believe now the coaches are challenging because they just think, what the hell? Because they don't know. Like, that goaltender interference call. Berube is going to challenge that, even if he thinks it might not go, because he has no idea what they're going to call in Toronto. But if it was more black and white, you would watch the replay and say, no, that's not.
You're 100% right. Anyway, we could be talking about, the Lorenz goal, it should have counted. Like, if that went off his elbow, it's a good goal, but it goes off his fucking knee, so it's not. And we should be sitting here now.
And again, it's not black and white.
No, it's not. And that's why I fucking hate it. We should be sitting here right now talking about a beautiful tip-in from Matthew Nyes. Oh. That wasn't high. Like, I'm sorry. That wasn't high sticking. If I thought that was high sticking, I would come on here and say it. And I'm not just saying that because, if that play happened at the other end of the ice, I would have said, that's a goal. That's a goal. It looked under the bar.
And the ref called it a goal, right? Or the ref no goal. The ref called it no goal.
Called it off immediately, put it into Toronto's hands in the situation room, and they said no, high sticking. Sportsnet played 100 fucking replays, and it looked like it was under the bar.
Yeah. No, it definitely looked like it was under the bar. If the ref calls no goal on plays like that, then there probably shouldn't be a review or a coach's challenge.
We should be right now talking about one of the, and it was still a great tip-in, but we should be
talking. It was a great tip-in, but that is one of those things where even when you watch the replay, it's debatable on whether it's above the bar or below the bar. So I think that the ref should just get the call, whatever he makes on the ice. You can watch a replay and say, hey, there's a foot in the crease.
Yep.
It's really hard to tell where his stick was exactly.
Yep.
But hey, we are where we are.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
they find a balance, but let's talk about how great the fucking game was.
We'll move off they should have won. They should have won in regulation. They should have won in regulation. Anyway, they did win. They fought. That's the best part about last night is that they kept two disallowed goals and they just kept coming back and they kept coming back. So you love to see that. So anyway, they found a way, and that's what the most positive takeaway from the game against Washington. Because it wasn't looking good, until the third period, really. Move right to overtime. Wall, 10 feet out of his fucking crease, makes a huge save on. So this guy's confidence is growing It is absolutely growing. Because when you got Ovechkin coming fucking right about to hammer it on you, he's 10 feet out of his fucking net.
Yeah.
Great save. Marner makes a nice play to get the puck up the ice and
JT
wheels.
Skates like I'd never seen him skate before. Right?
Wheels. JT gets the puck. Why the, I think it was,
why he didn't come out and play him?
Who was in net for Washington? The guy that catches with his right hand.
Thompson?
No. It might have been. Yeah, I think so. Why he had all day to get to that puck before JT like got there. So why he just decided to like, I'm just going to stay in the net here and play the breakaway? Like,
yeah,
little.
Yeah. He had all day, but even when JT had the puck, he didn't move. Like when you know JT's coming in and you can see defender on the other side. Yeah. So he has no play but to DQ.
He was deep in his net.
He stayed right there. But anyway, it worked for the Leafs because he got the win. So watching JT wheel to that puck.
I know, that was great.
Oh, man. What's the thing he's wearing now to block 5G? Have you seen that?
No, what? Oh, so yes.
He's wearing
like
an amulet.
Yes.
Maybe that amulet is like work. He's the Russell Brand is the guy who
I know what you're talking about.
He's all over YouTube advertising it.
Yeah. Some people might not know what we're talking about, but
there's a thing you wear around your neck that Russell Brand is the ambassador for, and it's supposed to block Wi-Fi signals and 5G signals, and it's supposed to clear your body. It's just a necklace that you wear. But anyway, JT is signed on and he wears one. And apparently it has given him his wheels back.
Apparently. So Berube says after the game, he said Tavares is so good with his stick in tight.
Oh,
he knows what to do with it. And JT said, as long as I kept my feet moving, I knew it was going to come. So I don't know. This is a tricky one because like maybe that's a new technique that I'm not aware of. Cause like I've never been able to come because I'm moving my feet. I don't know.
No, that's true.
So that's a new one. I think, but I like it. JT, he said, as long as I keep moving my feet, I knew it was going to, he knew it was going to come.
His feet were moving.
As long as his feet were moving. So good stuff there. Anyway, go some rapid fire here and then maybe we'll get to a segment. Already we were 20 minutes in and we haven't really talked about anything but officiating. But anyway, it's all good. It's all good.
Sorry, everybody.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson plays his 1,000th game in the league. I guess he's going to be taking the boy. It did not happen last night, but he's going to be taking the boys out for a big dinner. I guess he put up something on the board in the room before the game saying, we get a win here tonight, boys. Next team dinner on me. So 1,000 games, man, with Phoenix and quick stop in Vancouver. Florida wins the cup, now the Leafs. Am I missing a team? Or I think that's it for him. Vancouver bought him out. Then he went to Florida and looked like a fucking beast in the Stanley Cup run. And now he's here. So we'll see what happens. He's been a real bright spot for me. A real bright spot.
Yeah, he's been a bright spot for the whole team, not just you.
Like his physical play, like I just think he just adds an element. Like he's not a crazy physical guy, but there's a little touch of dirty. Do you know what I mean? There's a little touch of like, I might snap here. Like I might do something I shouldn't do here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You could see it.
You can see it.
Yeah. OEL has been unreal this season. Yeah. But unfortunately, he can't do anything about scoring.
No.
He can't do anything about the forward scoring.
Nope.
He's doing his job perfectly well.
100%, man. So I thought Matthew Nyes, I thought he drove the whole comeback. He strips it was a Washington giveaway at their own blue line. Yeah. Nyes picks it up, goes in on like a 2-on-1. Nylander was on the other side. Nyes decides to shoot it between the legs, hits the post, kind of beats the goalie, but hits the post. It's laying right there. Nylander fucking just taps it in. And then again, the tip in by Nyes and whatever didn't end up counting, but
it didn't count. But in my heart, it counted.
Yeah, it's great. I'll remember that one always, but
I'm going to give him like that's a tip for him.
Yeah. We should almost just did the segment anyway, but no, we can't do that. We can't do that. No. We have standards here, folks. Okay. Yeah. Like,
can't you tell?
Like, yeah, can't you tell? Come on. But I thought Knives was awesome again. Just, I thought he drove the whole thing, man. Like, he's just, you just know how much Berube loves this guy. And
you're talking about confidence growing.
Oh, God.
Matthew Knives, man. Yeah. You can tell the way he handles the puck now, the way he sort of operates in the offensive zone, even in the defensive zone. He's
a beast.
He's a beast. He knows it. He's confident. He's feeling it. Coach has his back.
Big time.
It's all good. It's all good with Matthew Knives.
Okay, so I think we'll have time to do the segment here. So, because there's not a lot much else to talk about, but I do want to talk about Domi quickly. I thought, okay, they were down 3-2. When Marner got they pulled the goalie. They were down 3-2 when Marner got the puck. What an incredible goal by Mitch to put that top shelf. Oh. That was a fucking awesome goal, man. But
who was that? I've never seen Mitch do that. That was awesome.
It was great. But what caught me a little off guard was when they pulled the goalie, the sixth attacker on the ice was Max Domi, which makes no fucking sense. The guy has no fucking goals. You're like, McMahon had scored in the game. Like, what? Just, I'm sorry. It didn't register with me as to why Domi would be the sixth guy out there when they're trying to bury one late in the game to tie it. They did end up getting it anyway. He didn't contribute on it. And then I'm like, okay, we're going to overtime here. Whatever. We'll see who plays. Domi, Larson and Tavares and Marner were the first three. And then I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be Knies, Willie, and Riley next, whatever. Oh, no. Domi. I think it was Domi.
Kampf and McCabe.
How the fuck does Domi, you're trying to win a hockey game. How the fuck does Domi see the ice in overtime? It baffled me. I still don't understand it. Help me understand, please.
I can't help you.
Like, were you not like, what is he doing putting Domi on the ice in fucking overtime? You're trying to win a fucking hockey game. The guy hasn't scored. Like,
And we're past it's early in the season. Like, we've played 18 games. We're pushing the 20 game mark. If you don't have a goal by this point, I don't know. Like, you shouldn't be seeing the ice in overtime. You shouldn't be seeing the ice before William Nylander sees the ice.
Chad Knies was a beast in the third period, and he got a couple shifts, but Domi had a shift before. Domi was over the boards before Knies in overtime.
I think that's what I'm saying.
I think that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, last one. We'll get to the segment. Matthews hasn't skated this week, I don't think. Hasn't practiced with the full team. We're doing this Thursday night. They had today off. Obviously, didn't skate. They will practice tomorrow. Big game coming up on the weekend. Oilers rolling in. What do you think? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? Is he going to be able to go for Saturday? Do you keep him out another one or what? I want to see him in there, obviously, with McDavid and Draisaitl coming to town.
I read today that he's not practicing or anything. So to me, that would sound like he's not.
Is this a little more becoming a little more concerning, or what are we thinking here?
I think it might be a little more serious than we thought. But that's always the way it goes in Toronto. They make you think that it's all good. It's just a few games or whatever. They did this with Marner last year when he had the injury. At the start, it was just a few games. Mitch is just a little banged up. Ended up missing what, like a month, 3 weeks? Yeah.
And he never looked the same when he came back either.
No. So I don't think he'll play. I hope he plays
I hope he fucking plays too.
And like, I hope he plays healthy. He hasn't really looked like himself, but this team needs some 5-on-5 scoring. He's the best 5-on-5 goal scorer in the league.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him. I know when they won the game, the few games where they look really dominant without him, people are like, they just play so good without Matthews. But then you see that Ottawa game and the Washington game when they're really struggling and you're like, fuck, you really need 34. He just can break a game open when you need it.
Big time. Of course. So we'll obviously be glued on practice on Friday and see if he's out in the morning before the regular group. I don't know. Maybe they'll just, that won't be a good sign, but maybe they'll play it as a game time decision, or maybe they'll just shut it down and be like, no, he's not playing. And then we're going to be like, well, then when the fuck is he playing? Like, what's going on here? You said day to day, he's missed four fucking games already. Like, we're going into the...
Well, he was put on IR.
We'll be going into... Was he?
Yeah, he was
put on IR. Okay.
It was backdated so that he could play after... He could have played last night.
Okay. So we'll see. So if this rolls into next week, that'll be the third week. So without him, going into the third week without him. So hopefully he can get back in there. We'll see what happens. Okay. Little Seggy, first time this season. You want to fire out a little hot? No.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Do we have an intro for it? Are we allowed to play an intro? All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We're full back with the intros, brother. Full back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wet Puck or Dry Stick. All right. For those of you who don't know about this segment, we basically ask each other some questions and there's an answer here. It can be a wet puck or it can be a dry stick. Wet puck, it's good. It's what you want. It's real slippery. Good. It's sliding. It's going in. Dry stick, you don't want that.
Nothing worse.
Nobody wants that.
Nothing worse. Want me to get it fired up here?
Yeah. Hit me up here.
I got a few. Okay. We were just talking about him, Austin Matthews, right out of the gates with a banger. Austin Matthews, Chad, will still lead the Leafs in goals this season, wet puck or dry stick.
Oh, God. All right. So we're at the 18 game mark. He might not play.
He's got five right now. I think Nylander leads the team with 11.
Oh, God. I'm going to say wet puck.
Wet puck. All day for me, it's wet puck.
Because he did score 69 last year.
Yeah, like it's Austin Matthews, man. Like, I mean, Nylander will probably get to 40. Maybe he finally gets to 50. We'll see. But, I mean, if Matthews gets back and starts putting the puck in the net, I don't see any reason why. He's only six behind Nylander. He could score two hat tricks in his fucking first two games back. So I'm going to go with wet puck. I think Matthews will still lead the team in goals this season. Let us know in the comments down below if you're watching on YouTube, guys. For any of these questions, we'd love to know your thoughts. Will Matthew still lead the Leafs in goals? I'm not saying points, just goals this season.
And don't forget to play with your friends at home. Just ask each other questions and answer wet puck or dry stick.
100%.
Let's get this 100% ball rolling. We want to see this being played all over the world.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be just about hockey either. You can
My last question is not about hockey.
All right, you want to fire one out?
Yeah, so Dale, after you just said earlier in the podcast that his confidence is growing, how likely is it that by the new year, Joseph Woll will be the number one and Stolarz will officially be the backup?
Dry stick, brother.
Yeah. You think Stolarz is just...
I've just seen... Even in the Ottawa game, that game could have been 6-0.
Yeah,
for fun.
He was really good in that game.
I know he let in the first shot, whatever. Like, he's going to have dips, but I still think he's been just clear-cut better than Joseph Woll. I like what I am seeing out of Woll recently. He's putting some games together. When they are putting him in there, he's playing pretty well, so that's a positive. But, no, I think, no.
You think Stolarz is the guy?
By the new year, yeah. I mean, we're only like a month and a half away from there anyway.
I think, if Woll keeps growing...
No, I still think it's Stolarz.
But there's probably a good chance Woll will get hurt.
Yeah, so it's dry stick. Dry stick for me on that one. What about you? Baby.
Dry stick. Sorry, that's my microphone. I think Stolarz, without Stolarz, I don't even think they have near the record that they have.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. He's been incredible. So, yeah, no, he's like our guy.
We're one point behind Florida, second in the Atlantic. And how many points has he won them?
I know
their defense is a lot better this year, but they're not really getting a whole lot of goals.
No, they're not, which is concerning, but we'll save that for another episode. All right, I'll keep it going here. Second one for you, wet puck or dry stick, Chad. If healthy, only one of these players will play opening night of the playoffs. Yanni Hackenpaw, Connor Timmins, Simone Benoit. Only one of those three will be in the opening night lineup of the playoffs if the D stays healthy, wet puck or dry stick.
I would say that's a wet puck.
So you think that like there'll be another defenseman added, which will push two of those guys down even further?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of where I was going with that.
I do think Berube really likes Benoit. I think he likes Timmons too. And Benoit, we saw one game.
Yeah, he looked okay, but he hasn't played in fucking since last March. No,
it's gonna take a while. He's fucking huge though.
Benoit was the healthy scratch last night over Connor Timmons.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it does seem like I know he was a healthy scratch last night, and that'll lead into my next question for you. But I just feel like he's been getting a lot of opportunity and ice time under Berube. But you had to get Hakanpää in last night, so somebody had to sit. And Connor Timmons did score your only 5-on-5 goal in the last four games leading into last night. So
that was a wet puck, though. Only one of those three D will be in the lineup.
Yeah, I think they're going to add a defenseman. I think they'll add a defenseman at the trade deadline. And I think if Hakanpää stays healthy, I think he'll be the guy that is there, because you'll need a guy like Joel Edmondson was last playoff. Yep. Someone to clear the front of the net, someone to just be a big asshole out on the ice.
I think Berube likes Timmons a lot. If Timmons could just
be, he likes Benoit too.
He does, but like if Timmons could be a little more physical. And again, I don't trust the health of Timmons, because when's the last time he played a fucking full season? It never happens. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Question marks there. It might end up being Benoit out of all three of them, to be honest, because the other two maybe don't stay healthy. But I just wanted to see your thoughts on that. Go ahead. Another one out there.
Wet puck or dry stick, Dale?
You really emphasized the Dale there.
Dale.
Mr. Siever.
Wet puck or dry stick. Nick Robertson will not finish the season as a Maple Leaf. Last night, a healthy scratch behind Steve, behind Holmberg. Like, is he the 13th forward on this team without Austin Matthews? No. So I don't know. Wet puck or dry stick? Will he be a Leaf or is he gone?
Wet puck.
He's gone?
Wet puck. Gone. All day gone. Like, he will not dress in the playoffs. There's no fucking chance. They don't like his size. He's not putting the puck in the net. So what is he doing for you? What is he doing for you? Can he could he get hot and go on a run here where he buries, you know, next week he's got a hat trick and maybe, you know, some goals. Who knows? Like 5 goals in December or something like that. If that does happen, I trade him right there. I trade him. As soon as he gets a little hot thing cooking, deal. That's what I would be doing. So, no, I'm a wet puck on that. I do not think Robertson finishes the season.
Like you have so many guys on this team that haven't scored a fucking goal. He's got one. It wasn't a great goal. It was just a rebound goal.
Third period goal when they were getting their doors blown off by Columbus.
I know, but at least he's put one in the back of the net. And then you decide to play. Like, Matthews isn't even in the lineup. So that opens up a spot right there. And Holmberg, Steves, Reeves. Camp, Lawrence, they all get in before you.
Yep. I still think this
doesn't look good for Nick Robertson.
No. And I still think you'll see the other Nylander get a look too. Alex Nylander. I think you'll see him get a look just because they need more offense. Like you said, like they're 5-on-5, not great at putting the puck in the net here. So anyway, I'll fire another one. Oh boy. Max Domi will score $4 million. $4 million Max Domi will score 10 or more goals this season, wet puck or dry stick. 10 or more for Max. $4 million.
Well, he has 0 at 18. So that leaves us with, you know, 64 games left. 64. Let's do the carry. No. Like, he doesn't even have one yet. Although last year, didn't he? He was really slow at the beginning. And then when he got teamed up with Matthews Austin. And Bertuzzi, then he started to put the puck in and put the points up.
But
so maybe something will click.
He wasn't really putting the puck in. He just looked better, but he was more of a facilitator. He finished with less than 10 goals last year.
Yeah. I guess, he just looked a whole lot better.
He's not scoring 10 goals. That's a big time. That was a fucking layup. Like, that's an absolute dry stick. He is not scoring over 10. If he gets to 10, I will be fucking shocked. There's no way Max Domi is going over 10 goals. Anything else? Do you have another one?
I have one. It is not hockey related, but I do want to get your opinion on this. So,
okay, I have a bonus one that is hockey. So, do you want me to do that first?
Yeah, you do your bonus yours one, last? And then we'll do the non-hockey one. Because remember, you can play wet puck, dry stick, and any topic.
Of course. Okay, so here's my last one. In Matthew's absence, JT has shown that he still has value for the Leafs beyond this season. Wet puck or dry stick?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
In Matthew's absence, JT has shown that he still has value for the Leafs beyond this season. Wet puck or dry stick?
Wet puck.
Yeah?
Wet puck. He doesn't have $11 million worth of value left in the tank, but he definitely can provide you. Like, let's say he was paid as your third line center.
Yeah.
He would have more goals or points than all your bottom six combined.
Well, fuck, if you're giving $4 million to Max Domi, I think you can find four for Johnny Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that, right?
You can definitely. It's just the $11 million. I got nothing against Tavares, but $11 million, he's just not an $11 million player anymore.
No.
But yeah, he's still, and with that Amulet on, man, he is just wheels.
Yeah. He can. Right, he felt it coming. He knows. He can feel it. He can feel it when it's about to come. So that's all I need.
When is Peter moving?
Yeah, they got a. I think they still got a spot for Johnny Boy.
All right, Dale. All right,
go ahead.
Last one, and this is not hockey related. So, OnlyFans star Leanna Phillips, she documented her journey of sleeping with 101 men in one day. She completed this in February.
Yeah.
She's been working her way up to do 1,000 men in one day. Dale, wet puck or dry stick, is that even possible?
Oh, wet puck.
You imagine though, like, possible. When you get, like, let's say you're at guy number 412 and he's just like, yeah, like,
no, but like if you're here, but I think it's got to be more like I've seen enough gangbangs in my day, Chad.
1,000?
Here's what you do. You got fluffers all over the place. So it's not like, so the guys are almost ready to go.
Okay.
And that's where they get in there.
How it works, but 1,000? 1,000?
Is the question specifically, is it possible? Wet puck or dry stick? Yeah, wet puck. Wet puck. Yeah.
You think it's possible?
Yes, I do. 24-hour period. Maybe it takes, 20 hours, something like that. You just go straight at it. Like, yeah, I think it's possible.
Okay.
I think it's possible. Wet puck.
I didn't know you would be so sure on that. Wet puck right away. I didn't know you had all this information in your head.
Well, how long
did it take? She is. So she's been working her way up.
How long did it take to get through 100 in a day?
She did it in 14 hours.
That's too long. Maybe I should reevaluate that.
But she actually finished over 100. So 14 hours, she did 101.
Okay, for that, I might have to rethink that.
So if you put an extra 10 hours on at that pace, she's maybe at 170.
Well, I'll tell you, okay, I might have to flip the dry stick.
Like 1,000 is a lot.
That is a lot. I might have to flip the dry stick, and that is very disappointing because one thing for sure is if she tries to get through 1,000, there's going to be dry sticks all over the place in that fucking room because there's no way you're staying wet when you're fucking 100 or 1,000 dudes. There's just no fucking way. So
wet puck or dry stick, would you be guy 1,000?
Dry stick. Dry stick, brother. Dry stick.
All right, everybody.
Would I be number one? Wet puck. Yes, I would.
Get the ball rolling.
Wet puck, get the ball first one in, but no, last man in. No, man, I can't do that shit.
All right. Listen, everybody. I just want to tell you before you go, before you shut it off, we will have a Shopify store with some tip-in merch coming to you next week, and it'll be open until the Christmas season. So when you watch the next video or the video after that, there will be a link and you can go check it out on Shopify. So do that. And for the Tippin' Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the Tippin' Maple Leafs podcast. While you're on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment, give us some wet puck, dry stick questions. Play with your friends. Yeah, follow us on TikTok.
We'll give us some that you want to hear and we'll do them on the show.
We'll do them on the show. Just put wet puck or dry stick and then the question. And we'll do it for the next segment. TikTok, Tippin' Podcast, Twitter, Tippin' Pod, and email us, tippinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we will.
Big time Hockey Night in Canada matchup coming on Saturday night when the Edmonton Oilers roll into town. McDavid and Draisaitl. Will Matthews play? We don't know. We'll find out more at practice tomorrow. We'll see. Hopefully he'll be back. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Go Leafs, go. I want a big time win against the Oilers on Saturday night. I want a big time win. Thanks again, guys. We'll catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.